You know that feeling of hearing about someone or even reading about someone and immediately thinking, gosh, I would just love to connect with them? No, maybe that's just me. I hope it doesn't come across as me being a stalker because I'm not. I heard about Kirsty Lamore a few years ago when I came across her photos. She's a documentary photographer and educator who has lived and traveled all around the world, and her images are so raw and real. She captures everyday moments with such ease that you feel like you're watching these scenes flashing right in front of you. And the more I researched Kirsty, the more I came to know and like her. And not just her. Her two daughters are a huge part of her narrative and storytelling as well. With names as adorable as Indigo and Saffron, I knew I had to chat with this jet-setting and uber-creative trio. So today, I am thrilled to welcome the Lamore girls, Kirsty, Safi, and Indy, to the Culturally Ours podcast. At the time of this recording, Kirsty and the girls were in Abu Dhabi, and at the time of this episode airing, they are on a year-long overland adventure in a van called Vera across the Indian subcontinent. Yep, they really are a jet-setting, adventure-loving family, having lived in Hong Kong, Abu Dhabi, China, and India. My conversations with Kirsty, Indy, and Safi was such a treat. Indy, who is 11 and a budding photographer just like her mom, talked about how travel for her is a great way to meet a diverse group of people and learn from them. She says she's always looking for similarities instead of differences. Safi, who is 13, shares how traveling for her is a way of expanding her creativity because of the experiences she has on the road and how that translates into her writing. Kirsty, of course, is all about making sure her girls are able to adapt and experience life for all it's worth, the ups and the downs. The girls are also very vocal about climate change and the environment. They have organized protests and even participated in protests about climate change in the communities that they have lived. Safi and Indy were a delight to speak with. I could tell that even at such a young age, they are driven with a sense of adventure, learning about the world, and a passion for living life to the fullest. And I have nothing but admiration for Kirsty's parenting skills. I know you are going to absolutely adore listening to this trio on Culturally Ours. And this is such a perfect way to end season 3 of the podcast, which explored a diverse group of people from all over the world on global lifestyles.
Welcome to Culturally Ours, a show where we explore global cultural diversity in an intimate way through conversations and narratives around lifestyle, culture, food, art, and travel. Host Karthika Gupta talks to people from all over the world who have intimately experienced different cultures as a way to understand each other's worlds from the inside out, focusing on what we have in common.
Welcome, Kirsty, Safi, and Indy. Thank you so much for joining me on Culturally Ours. I am really excited to have all three of you on the podcast, and I cannot wait to chat with you and get to know you guys a little bit better.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. Absolutely.
So before we begin, could you guys tell us a little bit about sort of who you are, where you're from, just to sort of help set the stage for this conversation?
Absolutely. So I'm Kirsty. I'm British. I'm a photographer. And I met my Irish husband in Hong Kong. We then moved to China, which is where Safi, our oldest daughter, who's currently 13, was born. And then we lived there for 3 years, although she was almost two when we left. And we moved to Abu Dhabi in the United Arab Emirates. And then Indy was born, and she's now 11. We lived in the UAE for 7 years, where I ran my photography business and my husband was an engineer because there's a massive building boom in the Middle East. Mm-hmm. And then we left for a year and went on a big overlanding trip where we drove from the UAE back to Europe. and then back again to the UAE. Based ourselves there for another couple of years, and then we left 18 months ago and moved to India, which is where we've been based ever since.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
You guys have been on the move forever, it seems like, but you guys enjoy it, right?
Yeah.
Now, you guys as a family are hugely creative. Kirsty, I know you are a photographer, and I see a lot of stuff from the kids as well. How did that all come about, and sort of what are your creative interests for each of you?
Okay. Well, as our mom's a photographer, the creativity kind of has become a part of our life, as she's always taking photos. So I kind of take after her, and my main creative interest is photography and also dance.
Oh, okay.
I actually prefer to write rather than take photos. I'm quite into writing fiction rather than real life situations, although I do like to take stuff from real life and base my stories on it.
Yeah, so both of the girls are quite creative in different ways, which we've tried to really encourage. I've always been quite creative as a kid, and then I became an environmental engineer in Hong Kong, which I always used to say was the perfect mix of creative and technical. And I used to travel an awful lot for my work, which is how I got into travel photography. I took a lot of photos for work. And then eventually, as with many parents, you know, when the babies come along, suddenly you've got a subject to photograph.
Yeah.
And I found that photography was also a really amazing mix of creative and technical for me. Although now I think it's very much my creative side that's taken over. I forget about the technical stuff in photography and focus on the creative. And I document our travels as we go. And I've had a business in Abu Dhabi doing family and commercial photography, which I've been very, very lucky to have. I've had amazing clients over the last decade or so. So yeah, but we really encourage them. Like Indy said, she's very into dance, and we love the dance community that we've had. And she's been lucky enough to learn some Bollywood dancing. She's added a new style of dance to her repertoire. In Abu Dhabi, she was on the dance team, so she did everything from Irish dancing to tap to jazz, ballet, the whole works. Yeah, so we try to be quite creative as we go.
I love it. I love it. And, you know, especially with kids, I have kids too, and to see them sort of, you know, express and explore their own sort of, you know, likes and desires and creativity. As a parent, it's very satisfying. And it's like, oh, okay. So you take after me, or you're doing something different, and that's great.
Yeah, it really truly is. And we've had periods of our travels where we've homeschooled the girls, and I really loved seeing them being creative out in nature and making things out of sticks and leaves, or drawing on the sand on a beach. And on our last big set of travels, they painted on stones an awful lot and then would leave little messages places. Stuff like that I just think is so lovely to see kids being creative and interacting with nature at the same time.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know, your work is amazing. And what really draws me into it is the raw emotions. I mean, you just you capture like the scene as if I was, you know, I'm standing right there with you and I'm kind of experiencing that scene. Not too many kind of, you know, photographers do that. So I'm curious, from your standpoint, what does the creative sort of process look like for you? I mean, what do you look for when you see something and you say, ah, I want to take a picture of that?
I'm often looking for moments and connections. I love showing that the world's a small place and that we're all interconnected. I love to find the commonality in environments and between people. I'm often looking for that. Obviously, I'm my number one audience because mostly my kids are in my pictures. But I would love to think that other people could maybe imagine themselves in a place that they might have otherwise thought was foreign to them. So, you know, through the mausoleums in Uzbekistan or something like that, they see these two girls running down the street surrounded by these beautiful blue tiled buildings, and they think, wow, gosh, I'd not thought of that. I hadn't thought of that as being maybe a welcoming place or a sunny place, or that they see something that they can relate to, and it brings a bit of a human capacity to somewhere that they might not have otherwise considered. Or, you know, one of my children in a mosque, where people haven't been to a mosque. My kids have been brought up going to mosques because so many of their friends were Muslim, and right. It's completely normal. But for other people, I know that that's not, and that they might then look at that and say, wow, you know, I think it would be really interesting. The architecture looks fascinating, or the people look so friendly and welcoming, things like that. So finding little pieces of common beauty and shared interest as we travel around the world is really my creative starting point. And then obviously, like every photographer, I'm looking for the pretty light, right. I'm looking for the good compositions, I'm looking for that interesting anchor that would pull someone into my images and make them think twice about somewhere in a good way.
I think, you know, I think there's so much negativity, there's so much wrong things happening. When you see images like yours, that you're so right in saying that, you know, it's as if somebody else looking at it can say, oh, I want to go there, I want to experience that. I mean, look at these guys, they, you know, they are having a good time, they're learning something, and I want to be in that position, as opposed to, you know, something negative, right? So I think having your kids in there and showing that human element is so needed, I feel, in today's world.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I took a picture recently of Indy in the flower market in Delhi, and there's litter all around her feet, but she's taking I'm taking a picture of what's beautiful in front of me, which is incredible light, and Indy crouching down there, but she's also got her camera and she's taking a picture of the beautiful sacks full of marigolds, and that both of us were finding those beautiful moments in what other people might be focused on. Whoa, look at the litter on the floor.
Yeah.
You know, there's this little girl crouched down in it, finding the beauty amongst that. I hope that it does make people think twice and go, wow, there are really beautiful little places and little beautiful moments everywhere that you go.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Now, as a family, you guys lead a very nomadic life. You've lived all over the world and, you know, often for extended periods of time as well. I want to know what that's like. I want to know how you guys adjust to all the travel, the cultures, and the people, especially people who are very different from you guys.
One of the things that I've always hoped for the children is that it would make them quite open to meeting different people and experiencing different things, and that it would also make them very adaptable. I think that's going to be something that's increasingly important as they grow up, that they need to be adaptable to change, to new technology, to new experiences. And I always hope it will hold them in good stead for their own futures, that we do have all these varying experiences. So girls, what do you think?
Well, I think when we travel, meeting people and their culture, it really interests me because they are so different in the way and the practices that they do, but also they're really similar, and the common connection is their kindness, and they're always looking for connections. So say one day we were on a train and we were talking with people, and this lady was like, oh, my son works in Manchester, which is where my mum grew up for part of her life.
I love it, Indy.
Yeah, people are always looking for the common threads amongst us to show that we're actually more similar than different, aren't they? Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
I think that being adaptable is very important, and that we're very lucky that we've been traveling around since we were so young, because that means that we are more used to change, which is good. And as Indy said, people are always just looking for the similarities instead of the differences. And I think that that's actually something that we should all try and do.
I couldn't agree more. Now, I'm going to ask you this. Was it hard? Is being on the road hard? I mean, we often, you know, tend to see the glamorous aspect. Oh, look at them. They're traveling to all these cool places and having all these experiences. Did you guys find it maybe slightly hard as well?
Often it's quite difficult. After a few weeks on the road, just being cramped up with your family, maybe you're in the middle of nowhere, no Wi-Fi, and you're just like, I need space.
I love that. I think
that learning to get some headspace is important, adding on to what Safi said, or like meditation or learning to go out in the outdoors and appreciate it, and it also helps prevent less arguments. And I do think that actually traveling, although it can have its ups and downs, because like Safi said, you are cramped together, it also strengthens your relationships, because you don't have to, like, you're not all in separate rooms doing your own thing.
That is true.
Right, right.
You have to do an awful lot of teamwork, don't you?
Yeah.
You know, cooperation as well, and how to work together and listen to each other's opinions and how to figure out how to go forward sometimes.
Yeah, you do.
Hey there. I hope you are enjoying this episode of Culturally Ours. Did you know there are so many wonderful resources, articles, and blog posts on the website to extend your Culturally Ours experience? We also have a library of free resources, like a travel guide to some of the most culturally diverse places around the world, a global kitchen essentials cheat sheet, and so much more. Head on over to culturallyours.com/free to grab these, and be sure to check back often as we're constantly adding more resources just for you. Now, let's get back to the episode.
Now, can each of you perhaps share some experiences, or maybe people or a person who really sort of made an impact on your life? And I think more importantly, your mindset, not just, you know, life and lifestyle, but your mindset.
I think that something for me was when we went to Tibet a few years ago. We went to lots of different monasteries, and it brought meditation into our lives, which has been good for helping us stay calm, finding headspace, as Indy said earlier. And I think that I'm very glad that we took that trip, because it's brought something so brilliant into my life.
I also think that the kindness of people, again, is amazing, and it changes you and makes you a kinder person. For example, when we were in Jordan, people let us sleep in our van in their olive grove. Or when we were in Iran, people were giving us fruit as gifts constantly.
Yeah, you could have eaten your way free around Iran. So much nice food all the time. Lots of pomegranates. Yeah. I think, like the girls say, rather than a specific person who's influenced us, and I think the same applied when I was growing up, I was fortunate enough to travel quite a bit, mostly in Europe as a kid. It was that kindness and the people that you met, and that it just became that other people weren't scary, and that opens your mind in a very different way to the different experiences, to seeing things in a slightly different way. Like, for example, most countries that we go to, we always want to do a cooking class, because we want to know a little bit more about how people live, so therefore how they eat and all that kind of thing, how they shop, you know, do they have supermarkets or do they go to the market, all those kind of things. And those become a lot more normal to us. And then we don't take our big supermarkets for granted and those, you know, those kind of experiences. In fact, we find supermarkets overwhelming these days, don't we?
Yeah, especially in places like India where, you know, fresh market is essentially just a guy with his, you know, stall and that's it. You get everything.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we used to have people coming up and down our street just with vegetables in a basket on their head. And I don't know if you've been to Goa, but they have the guys that come around with the bread baskets on the back of the bikes and they squeak their horn. And yes, we used to call him the squeaky bread man. the squeaky bread man's coming. Let's go out and get some bread rolls to have with dinner. Things like that that are just so everyday in that place that then become part of your shared family history, you know.
Yes, for sure. Yeah. Now, Kirsty, how do you balance all these things in your life? I mean, you've got a career, you've got a family, you guys travel, you know, your own aspirations, your business. How do you balance all these things?
Oh my gosh, I think like most working moms, it's a bit of a struggle, and I often feel like I'm not doing any of the jobs particularly well. It's always a juggling job, I think, for working moms. You know, the kids have school or they're homeschooled or they have after school activities and you're trying to fit your work into the cracks of time. And you know, when we were in Abu Dhabi, my husband worked out of town a lot, so I was the one that did the running around. It's tough. It's really tough, and I think it's no different wherever you are. You know, we've traveled overland around a lot of the world, and the laundry still needs doing, the kids still need feeding. All the same things happen, and you go to bed at the end of the day exhausted. I think the difference is that sometimes you've stopped the hamster wheel of life from running as fast as it can do when you're living the big city life and so on, and slowed it down, and you've been able to soak up a little bit more of those moments that you want to savor. Maybe when you're typically on a holiday, you're able to slow them down, travel slowly, really soak them up, spend some time, get to learn a little more. So I don't know, I find that the travel makes me feel content in that I've had a little bit more of those experiences, but the pressures are the same. You know, I've been on mountains where I've been desperately trying to find a Wi-Fi signal so that I can get files off to a client and so on.
Right.
It's tough, you know. We mums, we're carers. So even when we've got a supportive partner, we just tend to take on too much. I know that I probably don't delegate enough. I've been very lucky because since we've lived in India, my husband stopped working when we moved there. So he became the house husband and the school dad. So he did all the school runs and the grocery shopping and the laundry. And I was the one that was working full time. So I was able to pass over some of that load to him a little bit more for the last 18 months. Which is, I think, maybe been a revelation to him as well. I still feel like I perhaps carried a little too much because some of it was stuff that I just knew how to do because I'd had 12 years of being mom and doing all of those things. So it's, the balance is hard. The one thing that I'm really grateful for is that I have a job that is flexible, that I can take on the road. And so when I'm not seeing clients, I can be uploading stock or I can be doing mentoring sessions online. Or having lived an expat life, there are always people who are moving on to different parts of the world. And so, you know, they say, oh, my friend Kirsty's coming your way, you know, like you should get in touch if you want a photo shoot. So I've ended up doing photo shoots in different countries that I never expected to, or with past clients who've moved somewhere else and things like that. So that's been a real delight of it.
Yeah.
And you know, having my own business has given me an awful lot of really, really lovely flexibility. But yeah, being a working mom's never an easy call, is it?
No, I agree. It's just, you know, like you said, sometimes you know you can do it better, and you know, because you've done it. And so that, you know, delegating is like, oh, let me just do it. It's just faster and it's just easier. And then you realize that, wait, that was supposed to be my 5 minutes to just sit down and take a breath. But now I'm doing something else. So I think sometimes we are hard on ourselves too.
Yeah, we are. We are.
Now, if you guys are open to sharing, and it's just because I feel like people really can connect to personal stories and narratives, what has been some of your life's sort of most beautiful seasons or experiences, and on the flip side, some of the hardest? And perhaps not, you know, maybe this might not apply for the girls, but, you know, if you guys want to chime in, absolutely.
Well, for the hardest, I always think that leaving your friends behind in somewhere that you've lived can be really hard. So leaving Goa was especially hard for Safi, and leaving Goa and leaving Abu Dhabi was hard for me, especially.
Yeah, you make friends and then you kind of are saying goodbye, right? Not knowing when you'll see them.
That was hard.
Can't it? And as part of expat life, sometimes even when you're the ones that are staying, your friends are moving on as well, aren't they? So it can be a little bit unsettling, that side of it. For me, when I was in my 20s, I lost a loved one in very tragic circumstances while he was traveling. And I think that going through that at that age was really, really hard. And I think it shaped me in a lot of ways, though, that I wanted to keep traveling. I didn't want it to be an experience that stopped me from doing that. So that was probably the hardest time. In terms of beautiful times, I look back on the year that we spent traveling with just the most incredible memories. We always planned when we had children that we would take a year out at some point and go and travel with them. And, you know, over the years, the plans evolved and changed and went from getting around the world ticket and visiting different places to staying somewhere and doing a language school. And it just suddenly... came up that we would have this period of time where our lease was up on our apartment and one of my husband's big projects was coming to an end and we needed to go overseas for a work commitment for me. And we were just a little bit recklessly like, oh my gosh, this is our chance, let's do it. We kind of hoped that we would do it when Safi was finishing primary school, and this was when she'd just finished year three. It was a few years earlier than we anticipated. We were totally disorganized. We didn't have a vehicle. So we bought a 17-year-old four-wheel drive overlanding vehicle for not an awful lot of money. And we threw a tent and some camp chairs and a cool box and a whole load of clothes in the back, and off we set. We literally did that within 2 months. We told people we were going to go traveling, but we didn't tell them where, because our first stop after Abu Dhabi was that we sailed across the Arabian Gulf to Iran. And obviously we didn't want our families to think we were putting ourselves in an unsafe situation. Iran was absolutely incredible. It set the tone for our travels. The people were beautiful. They were so helpful. As the girls mentioned, we were constantly being fed. It was just amazing. And
the people were so kind.
Yeah, they really were kind, weren't they? Yeah, and so we just carried on doing. We didn't really know that we were going to do it for a year when we set off. So we were totally winging it as we went along. Like, absolutely just making it up as we went along. So we made it to my parents' house in England for Christmas, and then decided that we would carry on for another 6 months. We drove from there down to Morocco, where we spent a couple of months. And then from there, we drove back across Europe, into Russia, through Central Asia. And then our final fortnight was again back through Iran to get back to Abu Dhabi. And when I feel so emotional when I think back on it, it was just everything that I'd hoped, but more. And we really had no clue what we were doing. So it just took and smashed any expectations about people and about what you're capable of. It's just like, just if you want to do it, just go and do it. You know, we kind of proved to ourselves that we just totally could. And I have the most incredible fond memories of this crazy year where we threw the kids in the tent in the back of the car and off we went. So, and Indy bought her unicorn along with her as well. Yeah.
That sounds absolutely amazing. And you said something which I really want to kind of bring back. It's you really understand what you're capable of. I mean, so often we put these safety filters around us, right? The timing has to be right. You know, I have to be ready, or this has to work out. All these kind of cards have to line up. But yeah, Sometimes it's just do it. You'll find a way. You'll figure out a way, and you'll realize what all the stuff that you thought was important is not, and the strength that you get and the experiences that you have. I mean, it sounds absolutely amazing, and I'm so glad you guys got to do it with the kids. What an incredible journey.
Yeah, it really was. It was so much fun. We loved it. And like I said, we just surprised ourselves with it, really. It was a lot of fun.
Now, kids, you both follow along your mom's footsteps in some way. Indy probably a little bit more, but Safi in your own way. And you guys are very, from what I've seen and read online, quite vocal about climate change and the environment. So kudos to both of you for doing something at such a young age. I want to talk a little bit about how that came about. And I want to hear from you what sort of your hopes and aspirations are as far as that's concerned.
As our mum was an environmental manager consultant thing in engineering, that she was always teaching us, like, not to use plastic bags and ideas like that. Simple things that may aid our life and made a small difference to the world.
Like turn off lights as well.
And then in the last 18 months while we've been living in India, we've not taken a single domestic flight to travel around the country. Like we've gone from Kerala to Calcutta, from Jaipur to Varanasi. We've managed to embrace loads of India without taking a single flight to do that.
I think this was a big moment for me when I realized how much we needed to fight for climate change, and where I started taking more action was we did this film project in school about the environment, and I started realizing how devastating the effects would be on our planet. And that's when I found out about kids striking from school to demand action on climate change. And I thought, if they can do it, why can't we? So
we started up with our friend and started climate striking.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And you know what? You guys are on the right track. It's kids like you guys that are ultimately going to be the change makers. So seriously, hats off to you guys. Now, what advice would you give kind of other families or people who want to lead this sort of nomadic life? How can they make the transition for themselves effectively? And I think more importantly, honestly and authentically, so that they get that, you know, sort of similar experience.
Well, something I think, I talked earlier about getting headspace, especially for kids like me, maybe people in their teens who just don't want to be cooped up with their family for too long. And there may not be lots of physical space if you're traveling in a vehicle. And I talked earlier about meditation too, and that just helps so much. Or like, try going outside. There's the whole world out there, so that's a lot of space. And just being able to mentally get your own space, or like maybe writing or something, it just helps so much. I don't even really know how to explain it, but it's definitely worked for me.
I think that another thing that helps you like really embrace people's culture and get an amazing experience like ours is keeping an open mind and an open heart, because if you're closed-minded and you don't welcome other people like they welcome you, then you're never really going to embrace it, because you're going to live in your little box and only see what's in the box, not anything wider. So you're not going to embrace any of the amazing experiences. You might still go to amazing places, but you'll not get the same experience.
Well said. Well said.
Yeah, I think both girls learned their own techniques to get that space, like I've said. Because, you know, she's 13, and a 13-year-old doesn't want to spend all of their time with that. So, you know, her writing, I think, is quite therapeutic for her, to just take her off into her little imagination and her little world where she can make up her stories, and that's great. The girls have always shared a bedroom, so I've always encouraged them that they have to find their own ways of finding what they need without, you know, fighting about it. I mean, they're kids. Right. I'm not saying that we go without fights or anything, but they've both been very, very good about learning different techniques. So Safi might decide that she just wants to go and sit under a tree and type away on her iPad, whereas Indy might decide that she wants to pick up her camera and we'll go off and photograph some flowers or some grasshoppers or something. And just finding those different ways of embracing what you've got and getting your own space is really good. I think in terms of, you were asking about how to transition to life on the road, I think giving the kids some responsibility as well. So we tend to give them the grown-up treat of sitting in the front seat, but they have to navigate when they're in the front seat. We have a kitty, and that person's in charge of buying the bread and whatever for lunch that day, and so they're learning to manage their money, and so they're learning other life skills as well, which I think are really valuable, and sometimes kids don't get those same opportunities to learn. So I think that also gives them the opportunity to interact with people as you go. You know, that you're not really that shy about going into a market and asking someone for half a dozen bananas or something like that, are you? Even if you can't speak the language, I think both of you would be fairly competent at communicating that, you know, and then figuring out the money and paying, and just giving kids that freedom and a little bit of independence and a little bit of responsibility to take on a role in the travel. So it's not all planned by mum and dad. Right. And their voice is welcomed and heard. So, you know, we're always making Pinterest boards of, right, we're going to this place. Can you do your own research and pin some for us? And then we can take, you know, where did we go, Indy, that you found a great street?
Singapore.
Street art. Oh, it's Singapore. Yeah, and then he said, I really want to go to this street, it's full of street art. So we went there because she'd found it and she'd pinned it, and things like that. So we're following their interests, as well as, it's not just, okay, mum and dad have planned this itinerary and we are going to go here. We also have an awful lot of breathing space that we build in, don't we? So when it all gets a little bit much, then we have our pizza and movie night. Just to have a little bit of normality and routine in among all the other different things, because travel can get very overwhelming, and especially when the kids were little. Yeah.
Yeah.
You would get photographs an awful lot.
And then people saying, oh, do you want to look at my stall like every few seconds? That would happen. Yeah. And so it can get a bit overwhelming.
Yeah. It can be a little overwhelming. We spent a lot of time in India and China, and I have two blonde kids. So, yeah, the photo.
Yeah, I know. I still remember. So I'm Indian, and, you know, my kids look very Indian. But when my son was younger, he had really long, curly hair. And so he didn't look Indian at all. And I remember taking him to a temple, and I think everybody literally stopped doing the puja, and they came up to him and they were like, can you take a selfie with him? Can we hold him? Initially I was fine. And then I started getting, you know, like I was scared because I was like, okay, I don't know where you're taking my child. And, you know, I just literally had to put my hand out and say, enough, stop. You know, I need that space. Even though I'm from there. So I can totally relate to that.
Can completely relate to that. And so saying, look, girls, you know, we're done. Let's go back. Let's see if we can order pizza and we'll just play a movie tonight and all snuggle together in the bed. And, you know, that's all good.
Yeah.
Although I will say also some of the photo opportunities give like beautiful human connections. When we went to the Taj Mahal, so I was actually pregnant with Safi the first time we went to the Taj Mahal, so it was very emotional for me to take the children back. We went earlier this year, and of course at the Taj Mahal you know, there's a million people asking you for pictures, but seeing people's excitement at seeing this incredible monument for the first time, just it kind of dissipated any of that crossness that I might feel at them asking us, because people were just full of joy. They were so excited. It was such a big moment for people to actually be at this incredible place that I found the photo taking so pleasurable there, because it was just an absolute delight, wasn't it? We met the most amazing, colourful, lovely, giggly, smiley people. People who were giggling and too shy to ask. So we'd say, do you want a photo? Oh, yes, please. You know, that was a really beautiful day of it. You know, so it has its pros and its cons and its positives and its negatives.
Right. All right, let's do a quick rapid fire round so we can get to know you guys a little better. Okay. And I'll just ask a series of questions and just tell me the first thing that comes to mind. Okay, don't overthink it. Coffee, tea, or your favorite drink?
Probably lime soda.
Either a smoothie or iced coffee.
And coffee for me, always. Okay.
Favorite flavor of ice cream?
Salty caramel.
Mint chocolate.
A quote that you guys get inspired by.
Nothing is impossible. The word itself says I'm possible.
Be kind and don't give up.
And my favorite one is imagination is more important than knowledge. Knowledge is limited and imagination encircles the world, which I believe is Einstein. Yes.
Yeah, I love all of them. Beautiful quotes. Okay, horror movie, action adventure, or drama?
Action and adventure.
I personally like movies of anything that I've read before.
So Harry Potter.
So mainly Harry Potter.
Okay.
And I like comedy mostly, to be honest. Okay. Yeah.
Favorite season? Spring, summer, fall, or winter?
Winter, definitely. Very Christmassy.
I love winter because when we go to England, there's sometimes snow, which we didn't get in the UAE, and also spring because of the flowers.
Oh, Indy, you take after me. Winter because I can ski, and spring because of flowers. Yeah.
Good. Okay, Kirsty, what was your childhood dream job?
To be a ski instructor.
To be a ski instructor. Okay. Yeah. And kids, what do you guys want to be when you grow up?
I want to be a photographer and a dancer.
I want to be an author at the moment, although I do change my mind quite a lot.
You're 13, you're allowed to do that. Okay, beach or mountains?
Mountains.
What's your favorite food?
Pizza or anything with sugar.
Curry, dosa, and chocolate.
Oh.
Oh my gosh, too many, but mostly Indian. But yeah, masala dosas are like way at the top of the list.
Yeah, they are amazing. This time when I went, I had Szechuan cheese dosa. I don't know if you guys have had it, but it's basically Szechuan sauce with a whole lot of cheese wrapped up in a dosa, and it was
amazing. Wow.
I've never had it before. I mean, I've had Indo-Chinese, but having Indo-Chinese mixed with South Indian, initially I was like, wait, that doesn't sound right, but it was incredible.
Wow.
Okay, Marvel or DC?
We don't really read comics, but I have watched a few Marvel movies and they're quite good.
Okay. Not really either of them are my sort type.
Yeah, I'm not really into them either, so I've probably not educated them on that.
I don't blame you. It's quite addictive. And the only reason I watch it is because I have a 13-year-old and she wants to watch all the Marvel movies, so we all tag along.
Okay.
What are the three must-haves that you take with you on every trip?
Phone, headphones, big bag of snacks.
My camera, some sort of game, and some sort of sun protection.
For me, my camera, something to connect me to Wi-Fi, and woolly socks because I get very cold feet.
Now, what has been your favorite country in the world in all your travels?
Currently, it's India because I associate that with lots and lots of happy memories.
There are so many countries that I've traveled that are amazing. India is amazing, and it's been amazing living there for the past 1.5 years. Iran, the people were amazing. Uzbekistan had amazing monuments. I love Morocco, and I love the alleyways there. And those are the main ones, although there are many others.
Yeah, this is such a tricky question. Like, obviously, China and the UAE are crazy special to me because that's where my two girls were born. I also absolutely loved Iran. India is super, super special to me because my mom was born there and I just grew up with stories about India. So moving to India has been a bit of a dream come true. I feel like it's in my blood to have lived there at some point. And being from Yorkshire in England, Yorkshire people think that Yorkshire is a country in its own right and the best country on earth. But I've not lived there for a long time. So a bit of a cop-out because I picked so many. But it's just too difficult when you're as nomadic as we are.
Yes, I understand. Now, if you could give advice or life lessons to a younger Kirsty, what would that be?
Oh, I think it would probably be to listen to people's advice, but care less about it. I think I probably, when I was younger, spent way too much time caring about what other people thought about what I was doing and what I was going to do. Like, I was told at 16 to give up art because I would never be able to make a living out of it. And so I did, which, you know, was maybe a good thing because then I had an engineering career, which taught me project management and financial management and things that I was able to bring into my business when I did come back round to the artistic career. But I wish that I'd had more fulfillment from it as I went along. I think I listened to other people probably just a bit too much and didn't learn to trust my own gut feelings at a young enough age. So that's my advice to my girls, to discuss and to listen to people's advice, but to know yourself well enough to know what was right for you.
Absolutely. Now, each of you can answer this. What has been your biggest aha moment so far?
My probably biggest aha moments was when I realized my love for photography. I won a photo competition, and then I got to go to a conference that my mum was speaking at where it was displayed, and I met some amazing photographers like Paul Nicklin and Christina Mittermeier, who really inspired me, and that's how I've grown from that.
Wow, indeed, that must have been an amazing experience. They are incredible photographers and environmentalists, actually, right?
And that's part of where I thought that I could show some environmentalism in my pictures.
Yeah, you've been very inspired. You've been very lucky to meet quite a few Nat Geo photographers over the years, haven't you? Yeah, who've been quite influential to you. And they've all been such incredible people who've actually sat down and given you little pieces of advice, haven't they? Yeah, which has been beautiful. So yeah, she's a lucky girl.
That is amazing.
I'm not really sure, but maybe when I realized that I'm not too small to make a difference, when we talked earlier about the climate change and doing climate strikes, I think that maybe when I realized that other children were standing up and I could too, and that I could make a difference on the world, even if it was just small.
I absolutely agree. It's no voice is too little, too weak. Everyone can make a difference, and that's an amazing feeling to kind of get, right? Because the whole world is ahead of you and now you're empowered, right?
And you've been fabulous since you did the climate strike and done litter cleanups, and we got involved in a pre-monsoon cleanup in Goa and things like that. And you're looking for more opportunities that you can step up and make a difference, aren't you, sweetie?
All right, now what lies ahead for you guys? I know you're sort of living your dream, or at least the dream as we see it, but what's ahead for you? What does your future look like, if you don't mind sharing with us?
Okay, the girls are saying that I have to answer. I answer it first and then you can have some inputs. So we've just packed up our house in Goa after the most beautiful 18 months there. And we have just put our van onto a boat and it's due to arrive in Mumbai any day now. We're hoping within the next 5 days or so. And we're going to go traveling for a year again. The last time we bought this crazy overlanding car and we did it in that. And we've always been on the lookout for another vehicle that would perhaps give us a different kind of freedom and a slightly different kind of experience. We had an amazing time. We drove from the UAE through Saudi Arabia to Jordan in our van. And this is actually a different van for various reasons that we're shipping now. But yeah, we're going to spend another 6 months in India. And we're going to travel in the Himalayas, which is an area that we've not managed to explore very much yet. So I'm super excited. I was listening to you talking about Ladakh, and I'm so excited to get there in our van and meet people and see the incredible scenery and just see. It seems like such a different part of India to the parts of India that we've lived in and experienced up to now. I mean, we've been bringing the kids to India since they were tiny babies. So they've always taken India in their stride, but I feel like this is going to be different. It'd perhaps be more like Tibet, maybe, than what we know of India. And then from there, we're intending driving the van from India back to somewhere in Europe to wherever we're going to settle next. So that's a bit of a work in progress. Yeah. We're not quite sure where we're going. And we're hoping that we'll figure it out on the way, find somewhere that we love, that we can earn money because we'll have to go through the road. And we can settle a little bit for a while and have that to look forward to. And then the girls will be able to finish their final years of school and then off they go by themselves into the world. So, that's our next exciting installment. See where Vera the van goes.
Yes, and I'm sure you guys will have an incredible time no matter where you are. You guys have such positive attitudes and I'm in awe of the girls because it's not too often that you hear a 13-year-old and an 11-year-old who is so mature and so down to earth. That's the word I was looking for. So I know you guys are going to have an amazing time. Ladakh is incredible. It is definitely not like anything you see in India. The people, I mean, India in itself is amazing, but Ladakh is just out of this world. So I know you guys will have fun there, especially with photography. There's so many.
I can't wait.
Beautiful landscapes. And for me, like when we went into Leh and Ladakh, the thing that I just felt at peace. I mean, there are, you know, prayer flags fluttering around. There's just this vibe of peace. It's hard to explain, but it's just like, you know, that's what I felt. And I know you guys will enjoy it too. So thank you so much. I really appreciate all three of you coming on and sharing so candidly. I cannot wait to follow your journey.
Thank you so much for asking us and for letting us just share some of our adventures and some of the fun things that we've been fortunate enough to do. It's been a real pleasure and a real privilege.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Culturally Ours. Check out the show notes at culturallyours.com. If you've enjoyed the show, please be sure to hit subscribe, leave us a review, and share it with your family and friends.